Hare Krishna, welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Bhavaneshwar Prabhuji on the call to enlighten us on the topic of Bhagavata cosmology from Canto 5. Before handing over the call to Prabhuji, I would like to ask Tiffany Mataji to go ahead and give a brief introduction about Prabhuji. Mataji, please take over the call.
Mataji, Prabhuji has already joined the call.
Okay. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for giving your very valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Bhagavata cosmology. Thank you, Prabhuji. Please take over the call. Hare Krishna.
Thanks. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नम ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्ता स्वामिन् इति नाम्ने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रधायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्या नाम्ने गौरतुषे नमः हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानो सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरे प्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरूपस्य कृपा सिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna, welcome to all the devotees for joining us today's session on Bhagavata cosmology. So in the yesterday session, we discussed about few additional details of Bharatakanda, our earth globe, and then we discussed about the different divisions and subdivisions of the remaining six dvipas of the Bhumandala. So we saw that in Pushkara Dipa, there is one mountain known as Manasutra mountain, which divides the island into two varshas, one and two. And the intermediate islands will have seven mountains, which divide that respective islands into seven varshas. And here Lord Brahma is, a lotus leaf is there, a lotus flower. Whenever Brahmaji comes down, he kind of resides here. And like that, every island gets its name because of the presence of a special tree or mountain or something like that, Shaka tree, Krauncha mountain. And from this Manasutra mountain, two rivers come. One river gives water to the outer side Varsha, other river gives water to the inside Varsha. So this is the general procedure which is being followed. Similarly, in the intermediate Dvipas also, each mountain is giving rise to one river which gives water to the entire Varsha. So these are their medium of sustenance. And above this Manasutra mountain, sun is said to be traveling in his orbit known as Samvatsara. So this is the daily procedure for sun to travel around. So like that, as we go inside, same procedure we see, the rivers, mountains, etc. And then as you go inside also, same procedure. So thus we saw that all the brief details about all seven islands and seven oceans. So this is the summary, seven dvipas and seven oceans, divisions, nine divisions, seven divisions, seven, 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 two. And they are worshipping their respective lordships in different forms, either directly the form of the Lord are Lord's Vibhuti forms such as Devatas, etc., etc. And then we also briefly saw dimensions. In total, the outer radius of the seventh ocean, it is around 25.35 million yojanas. The total diameter would be twice to that. That will be 50.7 million yojanas, something like that. And this is like brief overview of all the seven dvipas of the entire Bhumandala. And we went in detail about Jambudvipa. We saw that within Jambudvipa, there are nine varshas, as shown here. Kuru Varsha, Hiranmaya, Rammaka, Ketumala, Ilavruta, Bhadrashva, Hari, Kimpurusha, and Bharata Varsha. And then within Bharata Varsha, there are nine divisions. Different names were mentioned in Vishnu Purana and other Puranas. And out of the nine divisions, the ninth division, known as Bharatakanda, that is our Earth globe. And we elaborately discussed about our Earth globe on which we are living. That is Bharatakanda, whose width is only 1000 yojanas, width or diameter, whatever it is. So these are all we discussed in the past. So now, but this is not the complete Bhumandala. This is only a portion of the Bhumandala. In the Bhumandala, there is much more than this. So all those details, which are there, the places of the remaining part of the Bhumandala, are presented in the second half of this chapter, starting from 34 to 41. So there are a couple of verses mentioned in third canto, 11th chapter, a brief overview of the brief summary of the entire, the first topic of Sarga, the primary creation of the entire universe by Mahavishnu. Not only one universe, but unlimited universes by Mahavishnu. That is kind of summarized in these two verses of the 11th chapter of the third canto, wherein it says that Vikarai Sahito Yuktair Visheshadbir Avruta Andakosho Bahirayam Panchashat Koti Vistara Dashottaradikair Yatra Pravishta Paramanuvat Lakshate Antargatas Channe Koti Shu Hi Andarashaya. This is a brief summary of what Mahavishnu did in relation to creating material universes is kind of presented here. Within the four holes of Mahavishnu, the universe composed of 16 transformations. 16 transformations are corresponding to 10 senses, 5 jnanendriyas, 5 karmendriyas, mind, 5 sense objects, 5 tanmatras, shabda, rupa, shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha, etc. And 8 elements, 5 grass elements, mahatattva, hankara, and prakriti. Measuring 500 million yojanas, covered by 7 layers of the elements, which are 10 times thicker than the previous layer, appears like a paramanu. Everything appears to be like a paramanu. Yatra pravishta paramanuvat. Where they are entering? Vikarai sahito yuktair visheshadbir avurta. Andakosho bair ayam. Andakosho bair ayam. These universes are kind of coming out of the skin pores of Mahavishnu. So that's how it is said. And the diameter of our universe, I am refers to the universe in which we are living. It is Panchashat Koti Vistara or Vishruta. That is basically 500 million yojana. This is the internal diameter of our universe. And this is surrounded by 7 layers. And each subsequent layer is 10 times thicker than the previous layer. Dashottar Adhikair Yatra. The 7 layers are increasing one by one by 10 times. And then, Lakshate Antargatas Cha Anye Kotishu Andarashaya. Like our universe, there are crores of other universes which are there in the Karna Ocean, like the Andarashi. Rashi means a group. So basically, Rashi means a big group of things put together. Millions of other universes are also within the Lord Mahavishnu's pores, appear small as well. In relation to Mahavishnu, this big universe, along with the 7 coverings, and each covering is 10 times thicker than the previous covering, everything appears to be like a small paramanu. Like that, there are crores of universes are there, which are appeared from Mahavishnu. So like that, this verse kind of gives a hint that what is the diameter of our universe, and like that there are millions and billions of units are there. So we discussed till now, our universe started with this particular figure. Within our universe, we have in the lower half Garbhodaka Ocean, and from Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu's navel comes the lotus. This is the lotus leaf, lotus stem, and the lotus flower. And this entire lotus leaf we saw it as a Bhumandala. And till now, we only discussed about 50 million yojanas. If you remember the table, 25 plus 25, 50 million yojanas is the outer diameter of the seventh ocean. But the total diameter of the universe or that of the Bhumandala is 500 million yojanas. From here to here, it is 500 million yojanas. But till now, we only saw 50 million yojanas of the Bhumandala. That is only a small portion here. Only 1/10 of the total lotus leaf, total diameter of the entire universe. Still 9/10 is still remaining. And today we'll try to see what is that 9/10 portion of the Bhumandala. So Kanchana Bhumi, the first portion which comes immediately after the seventh ocean is known as Kanchana Bhumi or Swarna Bhumi, which Prabhupada translates as golden land. A tract of land situated beyond the ocean of sweet water. The seventh ocean is sweet drinking water ocean. And the width of this golden land is equal to the radius of Manasutra mountain, which is 15.75 million yojanas. The width, whatever is the width starting point to the ending point on one side, that width is 15.75 million yojanas. So the outer radius of the seventh ocean is 25.35 million yojanas, or the inner radius of this golden land is 25.35 million yojanas, and its outer radius will be 25.35 plus 15.75, it becomes 41.1 million yojanas. So it is a golden land. Land looks like gold, that is mentioned. It is a land of gold with a mirror-like surface. The entire land looks like golden in color, in complexion. It is like a mirror-like surface. And any object dropped there cannot be seen again. If something is dropped there, cannot be seen again. That's why generally the people of the rest of the Bhumandala do not come here. Because if someone is lost, gone forever, they can't be visible. But the devatas from the main heavenly planet, they come here, come down sometime. For sporting purposes. So that is the utility of this place. Therefore, people abandoned this place. People refers to the people of the Bhumandala have abandoned this. No one from the Bhumandala goes here, but the devatas from heaven come here and sport sometimes. So this is golden land, Swarna Bhumi. And this Swarna Bhumi is surrounded by Loka Mountain. Loka Mountain. The Loka Mountain divides the countries that are full of sunlight from those countries which are not lit by the sun. Basically, it is a boundary mountain between Loka Varsha and Aloka Varsha. It is mountain here. And inside of the mountain is Loka Varsha. Outside the mountain is Aloka Varsha. The reason is, inside the mountain, the people will get sunlight so that they can see objects of the world. Outside, they don't have any sunlight, so they can't see. Outside area is completely dark, so they can't see. That's why it is called as Aloka Varsha. And inside they can see, that's why it is called Loka Varsha. Another meaning is that inside, because there is sunlight, people can reside there. People can perform activities, etc., etc. That's why it is also called Loka Varsha. And outside, since there is no sunlight and no one can reside, that's why it is called Aloka Varsha. And the outer radius of this Loka Mountain is equal to the 1/4 of the universe's diameter. The total diameter of the universe is 500 million yojanas, as we just saw in that picture. And 1/4 outer, that is 125 million yojanas. And the outer radius of this Loka Mountain is almost equal to 1/4 of the universe's diameter. But actual value is, the inner radius of this mountain, the mountain begins at a distance of 41.1 million yojanas, and the total width of this mountain will be twice to this inner value. 41.1 plus 2 times 2, 41.1, 82.2. So combination of these two becomes 123.3. This is actually the outer radius of this mountain. But closest round figure is 125, which is like 1/4 of the universe diameter. That's why Bhagavatam says 125. But it's actually 123.3. So this mountain is created by the Supreme Lord in all 8 directions. It is like a circular mountain, which is there all around. Just like yesterday, we saw that Manasottara mountain, which is circular mountain. Like that, this is also another circular mountain around around Golden Land. And this mountain extends to the end of the three worlds in height. Loka Trayante Parita. So though it is starting on the surface of the Bhumandala, if this is the Bhumandala, though it is starting on the surface of the Bhumandala, but in height, it goes to the maximum point of the Sargaloka. If this is Bhuloka and this is Bhuvarloka, and then this comes Sargaloka, this mountain goes all the way from here to the top of the Sargaloka. So that is how it is said. The rays of sun, other planets up to Dhruvaloka, and the rays of stars spread throughout the three worlds, Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, and Sargaloka, but cannot spread beyond it. And hence, there is no light. The sunlight, moonlight, and the light of other planets and other stars cannot be seen by Aloka Varsha, from the place Aloka Varsha, because the mountain is so huge and the sunlight, moonlight, everything is restricted well within this mountain, and it cannot go outside the mountain. That is the understanding. And top of this Lokaloka mountain, there are 4 elephants, which are placed in 4 directions. Their names are Rushabha, Pushkarachuda, Vamana, Aparajita. And these 4 elephants were established by Lord Brahma himself. Lord Brahma himself placed these 4 elephants for a particular purpose, to support the Bhumandala and all other abodes of the universe. Sarva Loka Sthiti Yedaga. So Bhumandala is there. In order to balance the Bhumandala, keep it Bhumandala in proper opposition, the 4 elephants are kept in 4 directions. One in the east, one in the west, one in the north, one in the south. Like there 4 are there in the 4 directions. The Supreme Lord also resides on top of this Lokaloka mountain. Bhagavan Swa Parshada Pravarai Parivarito Sandaryamanas Tasmin Girivare Samantat Aste. For what purpose? For the welfare of all living entities in the entire universe, especially for the welfare of those who are living in the Bhumandala. Sakala Loka Svastaye. And how long Lord will reside there? Till the end of the day of Brahma, or till the end of the Kalpa, to protect the worldly affairs created by his Yoga Maya. Akalpam Evam. So for the entire day of Brahma, the Supreme Lord Narayana himself resides on top of this Lokaloka mountain at a particular place. He takes care of the elephants, he takes care of the welfare of all the living entities throughout the universe. This is one Vaikuntha within our universe. In our universe, there are 3 Vaikunthas, about which we will discuss in due course of time. But this is the first Vaikuntha, which is there above Lokaloka mountain. Here, one form of Lord Narayana is residing from the beginning of the day of Brahma till the end of the day of Brahma. He will reside there. He will take care of all of us. So then, after this Lokaloka mountain on the other side, we will have Aloka Varsha. Aloka Varsha is a tract of land situated outside the Lokaloka mountain range. It is known as Aloka Varsha because there is no sunlight, and hence it is fully dark, so that one cannot see in the darkness, and also it is not inhabitable for people in general. That's why it is called Aloka Varsha. Either it is dark place or the place where no one can reside, or abandoned land kind of thing. And the total breadth of this particular Aloka Varsha is equal to the radius of the far edge of Lokaloka mountain. The outer radius of the Lokaloka mountain is 1/4 of the universe diameter, but actually it is 123.3, and this is the width of Aloka Varsha. Thus, the outer radius of the Aloka Varsha will be 246.6 million yojanas. So the Aloka Varsha begins at 123.3 and it goes all the way up to 123.3 plus 123.3. Total becomes 246.6 million yojanas. So this is the radius on one side starting from the center of the Mount Meru. The total diameter of the Bhulok Mandala is 493.2 million yojanas. This is the total diameter of the Bhumandala. And the total diameter of the universe is, the inner diameter of the universe is within the globe, within the universal shell, that is 500. But Bhumandala's diameter is 493.2. So as a result of this, there is a small space and all around Bhumandala. The universal covering is 500. The Bhumandala is 493.2. So there is a difference about 6.8. So 3.4 year. There is a small gap of 3.4 million yojanas all around Bhumandala. So this is called free space. Then followed by free space is universal coverings, seven coverings of the universe. Thus, the inner diameter of the universe is 500 million yojanas. The outer diameter of the Bhumandala is 493.2 million yojanas. There is a free space of 3.4 million yojanas all around from the shell. So 246.6 is the inner diameter. Outer diameter of is total outer diameter along with the free space is 246.6 plus 3.4. It is 250. So because of this free space, there is a special reason why this free space is there. Lord Shesha holds up the Bhumandala from below. If this is the Bhumandala and this is the universal covering and there is a small gap here. So because since there is a small gap, the Bhumandala can fall into Garbhodaya Kosha anytime. So that Lord Shesha is holding Bhumandala from below so that the universe does not sink into Garbhodaya Kosha. And also there are four elephants on top of the Bhumandala in four directions. So when Shesha is holding the Bhumandala from below, from the middle, the Bhumandala can go out of balance like this. So in order to keep this Bhumandala in balance, there are four elephants are kept in four directions on top of the Bhumandala, on top of this Lokaloka mountain. So Bhumandala is kept intact in particular state of stability by these five people, Shesha below and the four elephants above. And once in a while, because of the plan of the Supreme Lord, when there is a pralaya, the entire Bhumandala falls into Garbhodaya Kosha. Like that, it happened two times in the current day of Brahma. So first time during Swayambhu Manvantara and second time during Chakshusha Manvantara. Both the times, the entire Bhumandala fell into Garbhodaya Kosha and Lord appeared as Varaha. First time he appeared as Shweta Varaha, that is white Varaha from Lord Brahma's nostrils on the request of Lord Brahma and Swayambhu Manu. And there he lifted the Bhumandala and kept it in its place. And second time during Chakshusha Manvantara, again the Bhumandala fell into Garbhodaya Kosha. That time by the request of all the Devatas, Lord again appeared as Varaha. But this time he is Neela Varaha. And while he was lifting the Bhumandala, Hiranyaksha came claiming that Bhumandala belongs to him. Lord had a good fight with him. In due course of time, his whole body was drenched by the blade of Hiranyaksha. That's why he got the name Rakta Varaha. So that's how two times this Bhumandala fell into Garbhodaya Kosha and Lord appeared as Varaha and lifted it both the times. So it's like that. So now we see the picture. This is like the top view. As you see, is not top. This is the universal shell. And here are the seven islands and seven oceans. The white bands are the ocean and the gray are rock. This gray one are the islands, the dvipas. And all these seven islands and seven oceans are surrounded by Swarnabhumi, or the golden land. That one which is in golden complex in golden land. And it is surrounded by Lokaloka mountain, which is the texture of the stone. And it is surrounded by Aloka Varsha. This Aloka Varsha is surrounded by free space. And the free space is surrounded by universal covering. This golden line is indicating the universal covering, the beginning of the universal covering. It goes on further. So these are the different divisions that we have discussed till now in the rest of the Bhumandala. If you see from the isometric projection at an angle, so this is the entire Bhumandala in which we have the seven islands and seven oceans here. And the green one is golden land. And the black one is Lokaloka mountain. And the gray one is Aloka Varsha. And here we have
pole star. This is the topmost point of the Swargaloka. Swargaloka ends with pole star or Dhruvaloka. After Dhruvaloka comes Maharloka, Janaloka, etc. So this is the Lokaloka mountain, which is starting from Bhumandala, and in height it goes all the way up to the top of Swargaloka, that is pole star. And on top of this mountain there are four elephants balancing it, and below this entire Bhumandala there is Shesha, who is holding the entire Bhumandala on his hoods, so that the Bhumandala does not sink into Garbhodaka ocean. So this is the whole idea about the different dimensions of the Bhumandala and different divisions, and there is also an empty space. The significance of the empty space is indicated here. And now you see here, this inside area is full bright. The sunlight, the light of the moon and other grahas and of the stars, constellations, etc., everything is restricted within this area. Whatever stars we see, everything is, all of them are placed within this mountain. So inside area is bright and the sunlight cannot penetrate to this mountain. So everywhere outside, it will be dark. There is no sunlight. So in this Aloka Varsha, though it is very big, no one can reside here. That's why it became abandoned place. Since there is no sunlight, there cannot be any life. So this is kind of cross section of that entire Lokaloka mountain. So some details. So many times people have this question that Lord Varaha lifted the earth globe or Bhumandala. Some confusion is there. So we'll take some references from Bhagavatam itself. So from third canto, chapter 13, verse number 40. During Swayambhu Manvantara, by the request of Lord Brahma, when Lord Vishnu, as a creature, came out of the nostril of Brahma and became huge, like a Varaha, jumped into Garbhodaka ocean and lifted the Bhumandala. When he lifted the Bhumandala, the sages of Janaloka, Tapaloka, Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka became very happy and they began to offer prayers of glorification unto Lord Varaha. Here, couple of prayers about the same fact. O Lord, O lifter of the earth, that is Bhumandala, with its mountains held by you on the tips of your tusks, appears beautiful. It is like a lotus with its leaves held on the tusk of mad elephant rising from the water. Damsragra kotya bhagavams tayadrita virajate bhudara bhusabhudara yata vanan nissarato datadrita mattan gajendrasya sapatra padmani. Just like a mad elephant lifts the plucks out a lotus from the pond of water, similarly, my dear Lord, you lifted up the Bhumandala as if it is nothing, as a light object, very effortlessly. The Bhumandala consisting of all the oceans, mountains, etc., everything looks like effort, weightless on your tusks. Like that, they are glorifying. So traditionally, all over we see in our traditional temples, Lord Varaha always keeping Bhudevi in her personified form on one of his shoulders. Here again, Bhudevi is there on her personified forms on the shoulders of Lord Varaha. Bhudevi in her personified form on the shoulders of Lord Varaha. Only in the modern days, when we have these brass deities which are carved, there people put the globe. Here you see, on the tusks of Lord Varaha, there is a globe. Here actually on the shoulders of Lord Varaha, Bhudevi is there in her personified form. Traditional deities are all having like this only. Nowhere they show generally the globe. Why? Because Bhagavatam in the next verse clearly says, Traimayam rupam idam sachukaram saukaram bhumandale nata datadrutenate chakasti shringoda ghanena bhuyasa kulachalendrasya yathaiva vibhrama. Your form of a boar, saukaram, personifying the Vedas, Traimayam, appears beautiful with the earth, with the Bhumandala. Bhumandalena ata datadrutenate. The Lord appears very much beautiful with the earth held by his tusks. Just as a huge mountain appears beautiful with a huge cloud held on its peak. Just like during sunset time, when we see the sun is setting in the evening, and there are so many clouds. The clouds are placed on the peak of the mountain because the setting sun, those clouds which are there in the peak of the mountain appears very bright, like silver. The mountain is blackish, and the silver cloud, that entire scene looks very beautiful. So like that, you appear now while lifting the entire Bhumandala. That's how being indicated. And in this verse, they clearly mention that Bhumandalena. The Lord is lifting the entire Bhumandala. There is no doubt that Lord is not lifting the globe. So the pictures are like this. So Lord is lifting the Bhumandala, but second time when he was lifting, Hiranyaksha came. So Lord had a good fight with him. The different images. So how is it that during Chakshusha Manvantara, the Bhumandala again fell down into the Garbhodaka ocean and Hiranyaksha came and fought with the Lord? That is again indicated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, the last chapter of Canto 8, pastime of Lord Matsya is being spoken. So the story goes on like this. One day King Satyavrata went to the ocean in order to offer morning oblations. When he picked up some water in his palm, there is a small fish. When he was about to put the water back into the ocean, the fish requested the king to protect him. So king put the fish in his kamandalu, took the fish to home, but the fish became bigger, not able to fit in the kamandalu. He put in a bigger vessel, again increased. In the small pond, increased. Small lake, increased. Small river, increased. Ocean, it became so big. Then the king understood, "Oh, you are not an ordinary person. Please tell me, what is your purpose in coming to me?" That time Lord Matsya says that, "Oh king, subduer of your enemies, on the seventh day from today, the three worlds, Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka and Swargaloka, will all merge into the water of inundation. There will be huge pralaya, seventh day from today. So if Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, Swargaloka will merge in the water of inundation, and the Bhutmandala will submerge in Garbhodaka ocean. So I will send a boat, request you to board the boat along with the Saptarishis and all the important living entities. And I will again come, use Vasuki to tie the boat to my horn. I will protect all of you." As the Lord predicted, on the seventh day, the pralaya began, the inundation began. As the Bhumandala was submerged in the waters of inundation, the boat appeared. And King Satyavrata and all the great sages and other important living entities, they all boarded the boat. Lord Matsya actually protected them. So it is like that. This is also mentioned in 1st Canto, 3rd chapter, verse number 15. The description of Lord Matsya Savatara. Rupam sajagre masyam chakshushodati samplave navi aropyamai mayam apad vaivashvatam manu. So during Chakshusha Manvantara, the Supreme Lord, appearing as Matsya, protected King Satyavrata, who would be born as Vaivashvata Manu, the Manu for the seventh Manvantara period. So like that, this entire pastime is nicely mentioned and presented in the eighth canto. And there it is predicted, and as predicted by the Supreme Lord, the entire Bhumandala was submerged. And later on, when new creation began by Daksha, then by the request of Devatas and the sages, Lord Varaha appeared and lifted the entire Bhumandala and kept it on its position after killing Hiranyaksha. So like that, these are the two times the universe submerged into Garbhodaka ocean. And followed by this free space, there are seven universal coverings. So made up of earth, water, fire, air, ether, Ahankara and Mahatattva. The seven layers are made up of, first layer is made up of earth, second layer is water, third layer is fire, fourth layer is air, fifth layer is ether, sixth layer is Ahankara, or false ego, seventh layer is Mahatattva or Chitta. And each subsequent layer is 10 times wider than the previous one. So the width of the first layer is 2 times the inner width of the universe. The inner width of the total diameter of our universe is 500 million yojanas. The width of the first layer is 1000 million yojanas, or 1 billion yojanas. The second layer will be 10 times to the first layer. That will be 10 billion. And third layer will be 10 times to the second layer. That will be 100 billion. So like that, the layers are gradually increasing one after the other. So this is how the seven layers of our universe can be understood, how much they are. So, and after these seven layers of the universe, then comes the destination of pure souls that is situated beyond the Aloka Varsha and after the universal shell. So after the seven layers of universal, there is the destination of pure souls. This is nothing but the impersonal Brahman or Brahma Jyoti. So Brahma Jyoti is the pure destination of the aspirers of liberation, Sahijya Mukti. It is situated beyond the jurisdiction of three modes of material nature. And it is completely pure. It is in Shuddha Sattva platform. Lord Krishna and Arjuna traveled to this place in order to rescue the sons of Brahmana. So this pastime is described in the 89th chapter of 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in Dwaraka, one Brahmana's sons are keep disappearing. So when Yadus are not able to do anything, Arjuna promises that I will protect your son. If I cannot, I will die. So 10th son also disappeared. When Arjuna was about to enter the fire, Krishna asked him to stop from entering into fire. Then Krishna takes him all across all the places that we have discussed till now, starting from Bharatakanda, moving through Bharatavarsha, and like that, the second island, third island, fourth island, fifth, sixth, seventh island of the Bhumandala, then passing through Golden Land, passing through Lokaloka Mountain, then passing through Aloka Varsha, then passing through earth layer, water layer, fire layer, air layer, ether layer, Ahankara layer, Mahatattva layer, then crossing through Pradhana, then enters into Brahma Jyoti. In Brahma Jyoti, at one place, Lord Krishna takes Arjuna to Karunodakshaya Vishnu, who was floating in Karana Ocean and he was sleeping. He was in actually Yoga Nidra on his bed of Ananta, Sheshapandu. So like that, the entire regions, Lord Krishna takes Arjuna across and had Darshan of Mahavishnu and brings back the sons of Brahmana. That pastime is mentioned in the 10th canto. So in total, briefly, we discussed just now the Golden Land, whose width is 15.75 yojanas. The outer radius is this much, 41.1. Lokaloka Mountain, whose width is twice to the previous value, that is 82.2. The total radius will be 123.3. And Aloka Varsha, whose width is equal to the previous value, that is 123.3. Combination of these two will be 246.6. And there is a free space. Adding this, it becomes 250. And that is where universal shell begins. And there are seven universal coverings. So it goes 250 onwards. And the destination of pure souls. After the universal coverings, there is Brahman. So it's like that. 250 plus the width of the universal coverings. So that is the distance of Brahman from our place. Something like that. All these things are briefly mentioned. So this is what we have seen till now. You can see. So here seven islands and seven oceans and Sarna Bhumi, Lokaloka Mountain, Aloka Varsha, free space, and then universal shell, everything. And Lokaloka Mountain going all the way up to Pole Star. So this is our universal picture with all different divisions inside. So kind of we discussed briefly about all the seven oceans, seven islands very elaborately. And briefly the places outside these seven oceans and seven islands. Now this is the total summary of the entire Bhumandala. Jambudipa, Prakshadipa, Shalmalidipa, Kushadipa, Kaunchadipa, Shakadipa, Pushkaradipa. Within that Manasutra Mountain. Then there is Swarnabhumi, Golden Land, Lokaloka Mountain, Aloka Varsha, Free Space, followed by Universal Coverings. Then Brahman. So these are all the different divisions of the entire Bhumandala. So we started our discussion with Jambudipa, surrounded by salt water ocean, then Plakshadvipa, surrounded by sugarcane juice ocean, then Salmalidvipa, surrounded by liquor ocean, Kushadvipa, surrounded by clarified butter ocean, Kraunchadvipa, surrounded by milk ocean, Shakadvipa, surrounded by emulsified yogurt ocean, Pushkaradvipa, within the middle of Pushkaradvipa, Manasutra Mountain, On top of this mountain, there are four townships in four directions belonging to Indra in the east, and Yama in the south, Varuna in the west, and Soma in the north. And sun travels above this mountain, making it as the orbit. And it is surrounded by sweet drinking water ocean. And this ocean is surrounded by golden land, diamond bhumi, sarna bhumi. And then that is surrounded by Loka mountain. Loka mountain is surrounded by Aloka Varsha. And then there is a free space and then universal covering. So and after universal covering, we see the Brahman. So these are the different divisions that are briefly touched upon by Srimad Bhagavatam. Here is a small video about different divisions of the Bhumandala.
The greater earthly planetary system extends out to the edges of the universe and has a diameter of 4 billion miles. Known as Bhumandala, shaped like a lotus flower, it has seven concentric islands and oceans with Mount Meru as its pericarp. The seven oceans respectively contain salt water, sugarcane juice, liquor, clarified butter, milk, emulsified yogurt, and sweet drinking water. Sometimes Vedic cosmology is misconstrued as portraying the earth to be a flat disk. This flat earth misconception arises partly due to our inability to understand Vedic nomenclature. A single object may be referred to by several names, and a single name may refer to several objects. For example, the term earth may be used to describe at least six different aspects of cosmology. The earth we live on is indeed a globe, as explained by the Sanskrit word parimandale, meaning spherical, used in the Mahabharata text. The flat disk refers to the greater earthly planetary system of Bhumandala. Four elephants of inestimable size are placed at the four directions for balancing the greater earth.
So thus, in summary, starting from the very beginning, we have discussed the different divisions of the Bhumandala. So, in summary, from outside we go inside now. The thick line, the thick outer line is the beginning of the universal shell. And the thin line is the end of the Bhumandala. The intermediate gap is the free space of 3.4 million yojanas. That is the free space. And in the Bhumandala, this is Aloka Varsha. This entire white portion is Aloka Varsha. This gray portion is Lokaloka Mountain. Here, this particular image is drawn to scale. With all the dimensions that have been given in the Bhagavatam, everything is drawn to the scale. And like this width is 41.1 and this width is 82.2. This is 82.2 and this is 123.3. So it's like that. So this is Aloka Varsha, this is Lokaloka Mountain, and this is Swarna Bhumi, which is 15.75 width. And this ring is the outer edge of the seventh ocean of the inner portion of the Bhumandala. And this ring is magnified here. This thick ring is here, the thick line here, which has seventh ocean, seventh island, sixth ocean, sixth island, fifth ocean, fifth island, fourth ocean, fourth island, third ocean, third island. And the inner portion is again magnified here. Second ocean, second island, first ocean. The green ocean is the saltwater ocean, which is surrounding Jambudipa. The white dot here in the middle, that is Jambudipa. So it is like that. So here is the Pushkardipa. Here we have Mansutra mountain, which is dividing the Pushkardipa into two varshas. And in the inside portion, we have seven mountains, which are dividing the entire Dipa into seven varshas, like that. So now, this Jambudipa, which is a small white dot, when we magnify it, it becomes like this. This is the entire Jambudipa, containing the nine varshas, and Ilavrata Varsha here, and Bharata Varsha here. And we also discussed about Ganga coming down. And top of Mount Meru, we also have the townships of Brahma and other Devatas. This is Mount Meru. And in Bharata Varsha, there are nine divisions. The ninth division is Bharatakanda. That Bharatakanda is our earth globe. So this is a brief outline and summary of the entire Bhumandala that has been presented in Srimad Bhagavatam, starting from chapter 1 of Canto 5 and then continuing from chapter 16 all the way up to chapter 20. So these are few summary details of the entire Bhumandala. So if any devotees have few queries, we'll take now. And then we start the second part of our presentation. So the same Bhumandala only, there are some missing points in the Bhumandala, and those points are nicely presented in that book known as Bhugola Varnam, compiled by Sri Thiruvenkata Ramanujaciyar. And we'll try to see those missing points from that particular book. So before that, we'll take few quick queries based on the current discussion.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, there's a question in chat box, Prabhuji, from Lalitangi Radha Mataji.
Okay, I will read it. If the sun is on this side of the Loka mountain, how the sun rays goes to the other lokas, since there is only one sun for the whole universe? So for now, we have not yet discussed about the position of other lokas. We are still discussing about the Bhumandala alone, and the light of the sun, moon and other stars, everything is visible to the people of Bhumandala, that those who are in the Loka Varsha area, in the inner portions of the Loka mountain, and they are also visible to the Bhuvarloka and Swargaloka. Maybe I will just go back a couple of slides. Yeah. So this is the entire Bhumandala, and Loka mountain going from here to here. And this entire plane is called Bhuloka or Bhumandala. And in this way, in this area, from here to here, this area is called Bhuvarloka. And from here to the pole star, this area is called Swargaloka. The light of the sun, moon and other stars is seen by the people residing in the Bhuloka and here in the Bhuvarloka and in the Swargaloka. Only these three planetary systems need the sunlight, moonlight or stars, etc. If you go upper side, the Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka do not have day-night changes. Their day is equal to the entire day of Brahma. In the four above planets, their day is the entire day of Brahma is their day. They don't have any nights in between. Brahma's day lasts for 1000 Chaturyugas. Till that long, all the four lokas experience daytime. And the seven lower planets, known as Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Talatala, Rasatala, Mahatala, Patala, they are all like the caves inside the Bhumandala. The sunlight anyway does not go there. So they don't have any concept of day-night. So the sunlight is only required for Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka and Swargaloka, and they are located within this only. So this is all Bhuloka inside this. Basically, Bhuloka is these places. The seven islands, seven oceans and the Swarnabhumi. These are all put together is called Bhuloka. Though Aloka Varsha, Loka Mountain are part of Bhumandala, anyway, no one is residing there. They are not into consideration. So Bhuloka means these seven islands and along with Swarnabhumi. And little above is Bhuvarloka and little above is Swargaloka. That's all.
Hare Krishna Vamshidhari Prabhuji, please go ahead with your question, Prabhuji.
Yes. Hare Krishna Prabhuji. So Prabhuji, a few basic questions. So when we say Divya Swarga, that is Bhuvar and Swargaloka, so Devata reside in that, right? As you mentioned earlier. So yes. So when this entire Bhumandala gone into Garbhodashaya ocean and Vara, they have lifted it. So it means Devatas also went into Garbhodakshaya ocean, like the entire three loka went into Garbhodakshaya ocean?
Yeah, that time even Devatas are also destroyed. The residents in Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka and Swargaloka, all three planet systems are completely destroyed. That's what Lord Masya told.
Okay.
But only those people who boarded the ship, the boat, who entered into the boat, they were saved. All others are destroyed.
Okay. So generally we say that Devatas are for one Manvantara, but these two are the exception because untimely devastation happened during this time.
Okay. Yes, perfect.
Okay. And another question I have is that like you mentioned that Bharat Varsha is the Karma Bhumi And we just discuss about the Bharat Khanda in detail. So there are other 8 khandas. So in those also, like we can understand that human beings are living and they are performing karmas just like we are doing in Bharat Varsha.
Yes, yes. Whatever we discussed in relation to Bharat Khanda, the same things are also applicable for the entire Bharat Varsha.
Okay. Okay. So just another thing, again, based on the modern conception. So they said that the like life does not exist because sunlight is like so severe near, like as we move away from the earth. And based on this description, we see that the sun is there till the seventh, like the most outermost Pushkar Dvipa. So there it must be very, very severe. Like sun should be very, very severe at that place. So even there life exists, but which can sustain that high temperature, right?
What to speak of in the seventh Dvipa where sun is very close by? There are living entities in sun planet. Sun, whose name is Vivashvan. He is the son of Kashyapa and Aditi. He himself is the sun god living in the sun planet. And we will discuss about many other beings living in the sun planet in the 21st chapter. When we come to that section.
Okay. Okay.
When the living entities are there in the sun itself, then what to speak of the other places which are connected to sunlight?
Right. So again, like based on this, we understand that sun is roughly around 50 million yojana away from us, right?
How much?
50 million yojanas? Like outer shell 15? Of the woman.
50 or 15?
15, like the outer circle of that Pushkar Dvipa. Like that mountain where sun is orbiting, right? So that distance is around
circle, yeah. The middle of Pushkar Dvipa of Pushkar Dvipa. That is 15.75 million yojanas. That much.
Yeah, right. So again, modern theory is wrong because they said sun is around 98 million miles from Earth. So that is not like just about 2 million yojana, like less than
Prabhuji,
2 million.
Prabhuji, my dear Prabhuji, this is my kind request. Try not to compare with modern science. Do not kindly do that mistake. And try not make any judgments.
Yes.
We are here neither to support science nor oppose science. We are just studying Bhagavatam. What is there the Bhagavatam will study. We are not here to criticize modern science.
Right. Okay.
So they have freedom to say whatever they want.
Yeah,
and
right,
we
right.
have freedom to study what is there in the Bhagavatam. So we are studying Bhagavatam, stick to Bhagavatam.
Right. Thank you.
Kindly do not go into modern science.
Okay. So, Prabhuji, we'll discuss about other planets in next session, future sessions.
Yeah, if all of you allow.
Sure, definitely, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Thank you very much. Like, it's Hare. For the first time, it has become very clear, Prabhuji. Like, I read this chapters 2 times, but just went through it. Like, couldn't understand.
Prabhuji, okay. We'll take other questions. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Quick. Mm-hmm. We don't have much
time. Hare Krishna. Srinivas Prabhuji, please go ahead with your question, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam, Prabhuji. So my question is, Prabhuji, this when Bhumandala and complete Bhumandala, when it was submerged in the Garbhodaksha ocean, so as you said in the presentation that there was a Ananta Shesha holding the complete Bhumandala, so why then the Bhumandala submerged in the Garbhodaksha when already
when Ananta it is Shesha Pralaya was... when it is time for Pralaya, Ananta Shesha will wind up his service. When Ananta Shesha does not hold Bhumandala, it will anyway fall down.
Okay.
So that is okay, like that is preordained. During Pralaya, Lord Shesha will not hold. So when he leaves the service, it will fall down into Garbhodaksha ocean. So it is like that.
Okay, Prabhuji. Thank you. Understood. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Vivek Prabhuji, please go ahead with your question.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhuji, the question I have is, you mentioned about the 9 tracts of land on Bharat Varsha. Prabhuji asked a similar question. My question is, in Bhagavatam, is there any references of the inhabitants of the 9 tracts of land apart from, say, Bharat Khanda? If you can clarify on that.
Bhagavatam does not even talk about very clearly about those 9 islands within Bharat Varsha. Then what to speak of people living in all those places? Just Bhagavatam just hints about them. So for more details, you can read Vayu Purana. Vayu Purana might be having some details.
Okay, Prabhuji. And the other question is, the tract of land called Aloka Varsha explained in detail. So the question is, I mean, is there any purpose of this? Is there so the entire creation the Supreme Lord has created for the jivas to come and enjoy separately? But then why is that Aloka Varsha has been created with nothing to be done there? It's an empty space where nobody wants to go there.
Yeah, we'll get more clarity about Aloka Varsha in the future presentation. Today or tomorrow we'll discuss. Possible today itself, otherwise tomorrow we'll get more details about this Aloka Varsha.
Okay, thank you, Prabhuji.
Yes, please.
Hare Krishna, Suresh Vasham, Prabhuji, please go ahead with your question.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu, Dandavat Pranam, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, you were saying, one part I didn't understand was this one. When we see the sun is rotating on the Manasottara mountain around the earth. That is making day and night. That part is clear, Prabhu. So it's doing that circular rotation. So what is that meaning about Uttarayana and Dakshinayana? What is it like? We can't see how it is going up and down.
Prabhuji, is there any query based on today's discussion? Kindly welcome. So Do not go here and there.
Okay, because yesterday you were saying, Prabhu, how the sun is rotating, right, day and night. So
it's okay. We are not talking about the day and night. We are not talking about sun's rotation. We are basically talking about different divisions of the Bhumandala. If there is any question related to that, we will take up today.
So, one question.
We'll discuss later.
Okay. So, that will come, right, Prabhu? Okay. So, do you talk about different pralayas also, Prabhu? What happens during different pralayas? Will you talk?
No. I am not talking. That is, pralayas are all in 12th canto. So, you can read 12th canto, Bhagavatam.
Okay, Prabhu. Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhu. Yeah.
Gaurangi Mataji, please go ahead with your question.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. Yes, the lower planetary systems, you said, are not receiving any light.
Yes.
So I was wondering if there is, but we hear, I think, that there is activity there. So is that the case? Because you were saying that Juan Bhumandala itself, outside of the local mountains, because it's like desert there and deserted, there is no activity there because there's no light there. So I was wondering if it was the same situation for the lower planetary systems, which are also not getting any light.
See here in this picture, Sun is inside this area.
Yeah.
So sunlight cannot penetrate to this mountain. That's why the outer area, there is no sunlight in the outer area.
Yeah.
And the seven lower planetary systems are inside the Bhumandala. We will see today some of the pictures of their locations, how they are situated. And the light, sunlight also cannot penetrate through the earth and go downward. So that's why they don't have sunlight.
But we were saying that without sunlight, how could there be activity, right? So for the lower planetary systems, without sunlight, how is activity there?
Yeah, we will discuss about that in 24th chapter. There is a lot of elaborate discussions we will do that time. But they do get sunlight through different means, such as in their buildings, all the walls are built with lot of jewels. They emit light. And there are a lot of snakes also residing in the lower planets. And every snake has a jewel on their hood that also produces a lot of light. So that is more than enough for them. So sunlight is not required in those lower planets.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Mm-hmm.
Prabhuji, I just had a question on, you mentioned that there are three Vaikunthas in this universe itself?
Yes.
Okay, so we have Lord Vishnu residing on one Vaikuntha over here itself. And then, so the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, is he also residing in a Vaikuntha?
No. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, we already discussed about him. The other two Vishnus we will discuss in later part of our discussion. When we come to 23rd chapter, then we will discuss about other two Vishnus. We have slides dedicated for them. We will discuss about them then. Do not right now.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Also, the you mentioned about the destination of the pure souls in the Brahmajyoti area. Is that considered a part of the universal shell itself or outside?
No, no. It is the portion which is immediately outside our universal shell. So okay. Just to give a continuity, it is mentioned.
Okay.
Of course, later on, when we discuss the vertical structure of the universe, we'll go into more details. What else is there afterwards? So we have the universe, then there is the universal layer. After the universal layer, we have Brahmajyoti. Then there comes unlimited Vaikunthas, and then it goes further and further outwardly.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So, Vamshidhari Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhuji. Just one quick question I got. So you said this sun revolves, so that is 24 hours. It's a same duration for everything. So it means that in all three lokas, sun is having 24 hours.
No. We are only discussing about Bhumandala. All over Bhumandala, their daytime is 24 hours.
Right. So it means that in Bhuvar and Swarloka also, it's 24 hours, right?
No, I never said that. Okay. All through the Bhumandala, 24 hours. What will be there in Bhuvar Loka and Swargaloka, we'll see in the future. Not right now.
Okay.
Right now, we are talking about Bhumandala, everything about Bhumandala, not other places.
Okay. Okay, so this the Divya Swarga is above Bhumandala.
Yes, that is above Bhumandala.
Okay.
In the Bhumandala, that means all over the seven Dvipas and also Swarna Bhumi, everywhere, their daytime is 12 hours, nighttime is 12 hours. So morning 6 a.m. to evening 6 p.m., it is daytime. Uh-huh. 6 p.m. Uh-huh. to 6 a.m., it is nighttime. So that is common for all on the Bhumandala.
Okay. And yesterday you had a quick reference about the Pitraloka. You said is it Bhuvar Loka? You I think one comment I heard that you said Pitra lives on Bhuvar Loka.
We will discuss about that, Prabhuji, later on. Okay, it is not sure. The subject matter now. See,
okay.
It's okay. You can write down all those questions. If they are not addressed, you can ask in the future sessions. But
sure.
Currently Bhumandala. Anything about Bhumandala? So thank you very much. So we have completed part one of our presentation, which is one of the long sections of our discussion. So then in continuation of that, we will be discussing from Bhugola Varnanam, wherein we'll get some inputs in order to complete the picture of the entire Bhumandala. Till now we were drawing the picture of the Bhumandala, but there are so many missing links. And we'll try to fill those missing links, even though there may be many more, but we'll just try to fill as much as possible from referring to Bhugola Varnam. It is compiled by Srila Vadiraja Tirtha. So who is he? So of course, in this book, Bhugola Varnam talks about identity of Srila Vadiraja Tirtha and description of the Bhumandala with its seven dvipas, Golden Land, Diamond Land, Jambudvipa, Bharatavarsha, Bharatakanda, the shape and location of Bharatakanda, orbits of Sun, Moon and Rahu. The most important section of this particular presentation is, why can't we see everything described above? All these things are being talked about in Bhagavatam and other Puranas, but why are we not able to see all of them? That will be presented in this presentation, at the end of the presentation. Most probably tomorrow we'll discuss about it. So, Srila Vadiraja Tirtha was born in 1480, and he was there all the way up to 1600. He lived for 120 years. It is he who actually increased the Paryaya from 2 months to 2 years. When Madhvacharya was there, he kind of created 8 matas and he created Paryaya for 2 months. Every 2 months, one mata would have the responsibility of worshipping the main deities, Udupi Krishna deities. But Vadiraja Tirtha said 2 months is too less, so let it be 2 years. So that all other 7 mats can go out for preaching for more time. And they can stay 2 years at Udupi and remaining 14 years, they can travel and preach. And he is the first one who did Paryaya for 5 times. And recently one more sannyasi also did Paryaya for 5 times. So something like that. And he is a renowned Acharya in the line of Srila Madhvacharya.
who was born in 1238, lived all the way up to 1317. And after Madhvacharya, the next greatest scholar born in Madhva Sampradaya was Jayatirtha. And after Jayatirtha, the greatest scholar was Srila Vadiraya Tirtha. Just like in our Sampradaya, we have all the Goswamis, like Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, compiled various literatures. And their literatures are commented by Jiva Goswami. And the combined literatures were further commented by Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Tagore. So like that we can see. So Madhvacharya, Goswamis, Jayatirtha, Jiva Goswami. Of course, Madhvacharya is like Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. Jayatirtha is Jiva Goswami. And Vadra Tirtha is like Vishwanath Chakravarti Tagore. So he is the one who actually commented on the writings of Madhvacharya and also that of Srila Jayatirtha. So he is one of the renowned Acharya in their line. And after 125 years, he kind of entered into Samadhi. They call it as Rundavan. And afterwards, he entered into a dumb, born dumb person. And then he compiled a book known as Rundavanakyam. In that one section is Bhugola Varnanam. There he writes about the entire universe. How does the entire universe can be perceived? It is said in that book that, of course, the autobiography or biography of Srila Vadiraya Tirtha says that currently Vayu is the in charge of the entire universe, is looking after the entire universe's welfare. And Vadiraya Tirtha in his original identity, he is under probation to take training under Vayu. So this person will become next Vayu. After Vayudev, he kind of winds up his seva, then this person will become next Vayu. So since he is under probation, he is always traveling along with Vayu. He traveled the entire length and breadth of the universe. He personally visited the entire portion of the universe. So thus, he can talk about the entire universe. And whatever he talks is the highest authority. Like that, the Madhva scholars believe. And whatever he says is in line with Vayu Purana and Srimad Bhagavatam. They don't say anything here and there opposite, but everything is in line with the descriptions of Bhagavatam and Vayu Purana. But only thing is that they go into more details, more elaborate details, which Bhagavatam does not do. That is the only difference. Srila Vadiraya Tirtha's Bhugola Varnanam. So then, there he talks about the Bhumandala. Bhumandala is a hollow golden shell. It is a empty golden shell, empty spherical golden shell, fully round in every direction. It is spherical in shape. And the internal width or internal diameter of this hollow golden shell is 500 million yojanas. Just now we saw in the Bhagavatam. And within this hollow golden shell, there is water in the lower half of the universe. Just above the water, we have Bhumandala. Bhumandala is a vast land spread across the diameter of the entire universe. So Bhumandala's diameter is also equal to 500 million yojanas. And this Bhumandala has three portions. It consists of three portions. Even in Bhagavatam also we saw that there is Loka-Loka mountain separating Loka-Varsha and Aloka-Varsha. Everything inside the mountain is Loka-Varsha. Everything outside the mountain is Aloka-Varsha. So they are the three parts. The same three parts are being indicated here. So this is our entire universe. This is Garbhodaka ocean down below. This is ether above. And here is the Bhumandala. The first part they call it as circular earth, which is nothing but the combination of the seven islands, seven oceans, surrounded by Swarna Bhumi. This entire land is called as circular earth. Following which we have the region of darkness or Andhatamas, which is Loka-Loka mountain in Bhagavatam. And the third region is Ganodaka. It is Gana Udaka. Gana means solidified, Udaka means water. It is a region of solidified water. So these are the three divisions of the entire Bhumandala. This is the entire Bhumandala or Bhuloka. This is the universal shell. It goes all the way up to the universal shell horizontally. So, according to Bhugola Varnanam, these are the dimensions of the respective places. The width of the central earth is 71.43. From here to here, it is 71.43. And from here to here, it is 71.43. And from here to here, it is 2 times 71.43, that is 142. So the radius will be 35, 2 times 2 that is 71, 2 times 2 that is 142. So this is how the divisions are made. So this is the circular earth, this is the region of darkness, Andhatamas, this is the Ganodaka. The ratios are 1 is to 2 is to 4. From the center of Bhumandala to the outer edge of circular earth is 35. From here to here it is 71, 2 times to that. And from here to here it is 142.86. The ratio is 1 is to 2 is to 4. In the Bhagavatam, we have studied that the outer radius of Swarna Bhumi is 41.1. The local width of the local local mountain is 82.2. And the width of Avaloka Varsha is 123.3. It is 1 is to 2 is to 3. So there are little bit slight changes here and there. But anyway, the places where people are residing is 7 islands. They are all same. The surrounding areas are kind of said little bit here and there. So that does not make much difference. So let us see how they are coming to all these numbers. 35.71, 71.43. Some details are given. The earth with 7 islands and 7 oceans. It is 5.07 crore yojanas. It is basically 50.7 million yojanas. So 25.35, that's what we have seen in the Bhagavatam. Same number, it is nothing different. And surrounding the 7th ocean is the land of gold. And its width is 0.64 crore yojanas. That is 6.4 million yojanas. And surrounding this land of gold, there is land of diamond. So its width is 0.42 crore yojanas or 4.2 million yojanas. And surrounding this diamond land, there is Brahma Bhumi. Its width is 0.05 crore yojanas. That means 5 lakh yojanas. There is a 5 lakh yojanas of land, which is called as Brahma Bhumi. So the total width of the entire Bhumandala is 7.14 crore yojanas. So it is like that. So what we saw in Bhagavatam is 7 islands and 7 oceans plus gold land. But the gold land is further divided into 3 divisions. Gold land, diamond land and Brahma Bhumi. So thus Bhugala Varnanam goes into more details. So here we have 7 islands and 7 dvipas. This is the Swarna Bhumi, golden land. And surrounding it is diamond land. Diamond of all, land of all stones, which are like diamonds. And that entire region is surrounded by Brahma Bhumi. This white thick line is Brahma Bhumi. So this is about all circular earth. In the Bhagavatam, this is called as Loka Varsha. And then the other two regions, the region of Andhatamas and also the region of Ganodaka, are briefly summarized here. Beyond Brahma Bhumi, that means after Brahma Bhumi, there comes Loka Loka Parvata, Loka Loka Mountain. And after Loka Loka Mountain comes Andhatamas. Andhatamas is a pit of darkness. So it is also called as Adogati or the downward path. So it is the region of the principal darkness, extends even higher than the Loka Loka, 5.16 million yojanas. So we saw that Loka Loka Mountain goes, starting from the Bhumandala, goes all the way up to Swarga Loka. But the pit of darkness is much more than Loka Loka, height of the Loka Loka Mountain. It goes downward much below. That's how they are indicating. And this entire region is petrified darkness, like water turned into ice. The pit of darkness is all made up of ice. It is all an area surrounded by ice walls. That is a pit of darkness. And then there comes the third region. After this Loka Loka Mountain, after the pit of darkness, there comes Ganodaka. The literal meaning is solidified water. But the Madhva scholars are hinting it. Ganodaka is non-different from Garbhodaka ocean itself. The Ganodaka, it itself is Garbhodaka ocean. There is no distinction from Garbhodaka and Ganodaka. They are simply calling it as Ganodaka. So now let us see a couple of pictures which explain what we discussed till now. This is the cross section of the entire Bhumandala. Till now, starting from our discussion, we were always seeing the surface view of the Bhumandala, as you see from the top. But now for the first time, we are seeing the thickness of the Bhumandala. This is the thickness of the Bhumandala. Till now, we saw from the top of the Bhumandala, like circular thing. Now we are seeing from the front. This is the thickness of the Bhumandala. And below there is gap. And above, we have Mount Meru and other things. Here is the Mount Meru. And here is the pole star, Dhruva Loka.
And on the surface of the Bhumandala, we have Bharatakanda. Bharatakanda is located here on the southern side. And this is the cross-sectional view of the Bhumandala. And this loka, Mount Meru is of 1 lakh yojanas, out of which 84,000 yojanas above, 16,000 yojanas inside the Bhumandala, like the basement of a building, something like that. And here is the orbit of the moon, which moves around in a circular fashion, very close to Bharatakanda and Mount Meru. And here is the orbit of sun, which is at a far distant. So when sun is here, everywhere on the surface of the Bhumandala, there is brightness. But there is Lokaloka mountain here. Because of this Lokaloka mountain, this sunlight cannot penetrate through this mountain. The outer area is completely dark. Here there is no sunlight. And this area is called as Aloka Varsha. And the area inside this mountain is called as Loka Varsha. And sunlight starts from the surface of the Bhumandala. It is there all the way up to pole star. In this area only. Here only we have from here to here somewhere, all the way from the surface of Bhumandala to the moon. This area is called Bhuvarloka. From moon to pole star, this intermediate area is called Swargaloka. So Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka and Swargaloka only will have sunlight and moonlight. The other regions does not need sunlight in our entire universe. And anyway, here there is no sunlight. That's why it is called Aloka Varsha. And in this region, there is a pit of darkness. So this is the pit of darkness here, which is taking one below. That's why it is called Adogati Arandatama, something like that. And so in the Bhugola Varnam, they say that when the living entity becomes so sinful and too much envious of the Supreme Lord, they are taken to the top of Lokaloka mountain, and from there they are thrown down. They will be thrown down into dark region, and this entire area is surrounded by icy structure. So they are put into a dark cell of ice walls, the walls made up of ice. They are put into strong and severe miseries. But for other living entities who do small sinful activities, they will be taken to 20 hellish planets and they will be punished here in the hellish region. So they are here somewhere. So this is the distinction between Andhatamas and the general hellish planet systems, where Yamaraj is situated here and he will be taking care of the punishment of the sinful people, something like that. So now, of course, this picture is not to the scale. This is only indicative. Then, now, in this thickness of the Bhumandala, what else is there? It is simply a solid earth or something is there. So some details are mentioned in Bhugola Varnam. It says that there are 7 nether worlds located within the hollows of the earth, within the hollows of the Bhumandala, down below Mount Meru. The earth below them is rocky in nature. And below this rocky earth is the location of the Ashtadigajas. It is here Yamadharma city is also situated. So in this rocky earth, we have the city of Yamaraj. That is where Yamaraj punishes the sinful people. And this Yamadharma city is surrounded by a big moat, many yojanas wide, and it is very deep, known as Vaitarna River. It is terror. It creates, this Vaitarna River creates terror in the hearts of the sinful people. And here in this place, in this Yamaraja city, there are thousands of hellish planets, such as Raurava, Maharaurava, etc., meant for punishing the sinful people, for punishing the sinners of different kinds of sinful activities. And then, beneath the entire Bhumandala, but just above Ganodaka, just above Garbhodaka ocean, there is Adishesha, who is holding the entire Bhumandala upon his hood. So it is like that. So as you go downward, there is Bhumandala, entire thickness of the Bhumandala. And below the Bhumandala, we have 8 elephants. Below 8 elephants, we have Adishesha. He will be holding the Bhumandala. So like that. So now we'll come closer picture. So this is Mount Meru, which is 16,000 yojanas below from the surface of the Bhumandala. And then below this Mount Meru, there are 7 lower planetary systems. They are known as Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Talatala, Mahatala, Rasatala, and Patala. These are the 7 lower planetary systems. They are located within the Bhumandala. They are like 7 caves. We are experienced seeing caves within the mountain. But these are the 7 caves within the Bhumandala. And since sun is somewhere here,
the sunlight cannot penetrate through the solid Bhoomandala and go to the seven lower planetary systems. Then the seven lower planetary system does not experience sunlight. These are the dimensions. The mountain from here to here, it is around 16,000 yojanas. And this Atala, the dimension, the height is 10,000 yojanas. And there is a earth in between, that is around 500 yojanas. Then the next loka, that is another 10,000 yojanas, 500, 10,000, 500, 10,000, 500, 10,000, 500, 10,000, 500, 10,000. Then from here to here, it is around 11,000 yojanas. This entire area is called as rocky earth, the earth in the rock, rocky construction. And in this area, in this location, is the location of 20 Elish planets. Bhagavatam third canto says that the Elish planets are located 99,000 yojanas from Bharatakanda or from the surface of the Bhumandala. From here to here, it is 99,000 yojanas. The total thickness of the Bhumandala is 100,000 yojanas or 1 lakh yojanas. By combining all these things, we get 1 lakh. So 7 times 70,000 yojanas plus 16, 86 plus 11, 97 and 6 times 500, that is 300. Total 100,000 yojanas or 1 lakh yojanas or 0.1 million yojanas. That is the total thickness of the Bhumandala. The thickness of the Bhumandala is 1 lakh yojanas. In that, from the top, at a distance of 99,000 yojanas is hellish planets. That is from the bottom, 1,000 yojanas inside. The hellish planets are also inside the Bhumandala. So it is like that. So these are the different places. And below this entire Bhumandala, there are 8 elephants which are produced during Samudra Manthan episode. By the request of Lord Brahma, they have come here to carry the weight of the entire Bhumandala. So it is like that. So like these are different dimensions of all. The height of the seven lower planetary systems downward, 7 into 10 times 70,000. The base of the Mount Meru, 16,000. The gap between seven lower planetary systems, 6 times 500 is 3,000. The earth extends further, rocky in nature, that is 11,000. The total is 100,000 yojanas. So the complete picture. So here we have the entire Bhumandala having 3 divisions. This is Mount Meru. And below Mount Meru, we have 7 lower planetary systems. Below that, we have Elish planetary systems. Below that, we have Ashtadikajas, the 8 elephants. And below that, we have Shesha. And below Shesha, we have Kurma. Generally, whether they are elephants or whether it is snake, cannot float in the water for long. They may swim across. They may float for some time, but they cannot float for the entire day of Brahma. But a Kurma or tortoise can float in the water for as long as it wants. So Kurma will be floating in the water. It is like this. They are the universal. Kurma will be floating in the water. Half of his body in the water, half of the body in the above. And taking shelter of Kurma, there is Shesha. On top of Shesha, there are 8 elephants, which will be carrying the entire weight of Bhumandala. So this is the complete picture of the Bhumandala, which is presented in that book, Bhugola Varnanam. This is the book picture in the Bhugola Varnanam book. We have 3 divisions of the Bhumandala. Circular Earth, Loka Parvata along with Andhatamas and Ganodaka. This is Garbhodaka ocean. Here we have 7 lower planetary systems, hellish planetary systems, 8 elephants, Shesha and Kurma. So it is like that. And this is Shishumara planetary systems in the scorpion shape. And on top of this, we have, this is like Dhruva Loka, Mahar Loka, Jana Loka, Tapa Loka, Satya Loka. It's like that. This is another about which we'll discuss a little later, not today. So etc. And they call him as Vayu Kurma. Vayu himself expanded as Kurma, and they call this as Vishnu Kurma. Vishnu expanded as Kurma. He is there in the water layer. So this is the earth layer of the universe. After earth layer, there comes water layer. In that water layer, there is another Kurma who will be holding the entire universe with the earth layer, like that they say. But according to Bhagavatam, so this is Kurma, is expansion of Lord Vishnu, about which we will discuss maybe a little later, why he is coming, etc., etc. Maybe in the 26th chapter, we'll discuss, 25th chapter, we'll discuss about him that time. So this Kurma is giving support to Shesha and elephants, like floating in the water. And we have Shesha here and elephants here, Elish planets and lower planets, and Mount Meru, Bhumandala. So this is all about the complete picture of the Bhumandala. So now, based on what we discussed till now,
there's a small video discussing about all these places.
Below the earthly planetary system are seven subterranean realms named Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Talatala, Mahatala, Rasatala, and Patala, which do not receive sunlight and which are inhabited primarily by demoniac living entities. To reach the first one, one must go 80,000 miles downward through underground tunnels. At successive depths of 80,000 miles are the remaining six netherworlds, all of which are fully developed underground civilizations. In the fourth level downward, Talatala Loka, lives the magical architect Maya Danava, who has designed many brilliantly decorated cities where proud materialists reside. Below the netherworlds are the 28 hellish planetary systems. The demigod of justice, Yamaraj, judges the unrighteous human beings after their deaths and sends them to one of these planets. There, errant souls are administered appropriate punitive measures corresponding to their misdeeds. The earthly and subterranean planetary systems rest upon one of the hoods of the gigantic divine serpent, Shesha. Shesha, in turn, is held up by the colossal transcendental tortoise, Kurma. And Kurma resides in the ocean that fills half the universe.
So, taking reference from what all we have discussed till now, they say that, so we have the surface of the Bhumandala, there is Mount Meru going below, there are seven lower planetary systems, below that we have hellish planetary systems, below that we have Ashtadikajas, then there is Shesha, then there is Kurma, then there is Garbhodaka Ocean, which they call it as Ganodaka. And in the Bhumandala, there are three portions. This is internal earth, region of Andatamas or Lokaloka mountain, and the third one is Ganodaka. So there is Ganodaka on the horizontal plane, the outer region, and the vertically you go downward, there is Mount Meru, there are seven lower planetary systems, and there is hellish planetary systems, then there is Ashtadikajas below the surface of the Bhumandala, and then there is Shesha, then there is Kurma, and below Kurma there is Garbhodaka Ocean. There is, that is also called as Ganodaka. And there is one Ganodaka here. There is one Ganodaka in the outer border of the entire Bhumandala. The outer portion of the entire Aloka Varsha is also called Ganodaka. So now why there are two Ganodakas? Here one Ganodaka and here one Ganodaka. So that they are trying to reconcile. The hellish planets which are in line. So they say that the hells, which are in line with the direction elephants, the hellish planets and eight elephants are very much close to each other, are naturally above Ganodaka and below the surface of the visible earth. As per Srimad Bhagavatam, the hellish planetary systems are located beneath the earth, that means beneath the Bhumandala, but above Ganodaka, above Garbhodaka Ocean. Since the hard earth extends downward up to where it finds support on Adishesha's head. That means, whatever third portion we are talking about, it has Aloka Varsha or Ganodaka. It is supposed to be below Shesha. It is supposed to be part of Garbhodaka Ocean. It is non-different from Garbhodaka Ocean. And they say that here there is a substantial ground that the seven islands with their surrounding oceans are not flat like a single rupee coin, but they take a terrace type of arrangement. Thus,
The Pushkar Deepa is 2 lakh yojanas lower than the upper edge of the basket like Jambudipa. And the surface of Ganodaka beyond the region of darkness, beyond the region of Andhatamas or beyond Lokaloka mountain is in line with Pushkar Deepa. The location of the hills is slightly above this line. So basically, we'll try to see the picture so that it becomes clear. This is the arrangement for a terrace type of structure. In the middle, it is going upward. As you go outward, gradually reduces. So this is inverted terrace structure. In the middle, it is depth, it is going downward. As you go outward, it is gradually increasing. So this is the proper terrace structure. In the middle, it is above. As you go outward, it is gradually reducing. They say that Bhoomandala is supposed to be like this. It cannot be flat like a single rupee coin. So till now, we saw the Bhoomandala like this. So this is the area where 7 islands and 7 oceans are there, surrounded by Swarnabhumi, which also has diamond land, also Brahmabhumi, etc. Then there comes our Lokaloka mountain, and then there comes Aloka Varsha, which is called here as Ganodaka, and this is Garbhodaka ocean. According to Madhva scholars, this Ganodaka and this Garbhodaka both are same. They cannot be separate. So Ganodaka has become one with Garbhodaka. And this cannot be the picture of the Bhoomandala. So because Bhoomandala has three divisions, Loka Varsha, Lokaloka mountain, Aloka Varsha, both all the three should be same line. Then they should be like this. The Bhoomandala, when you see from the front, it cannot be like this. Instead, it will be like this. So as you go gradually like this, everything is in serial order. So when you see from the top, so this is the Loka Varsha area, and this is Lokaloka mountain area, and this is Aloka Varsha area. And when you see from the top, anyway, sun is here somewhere here. Sunlight cannot penetrate this mountain, this entire area outside. It is supposed to be dark. At the same time, it is all Garbhodaka ocean, but solid state, in solid state. That's why it is called as Gana Udaka, solidified water. So it is anyway water surface. Who will stay there? So human beings cannot stay there. That's why it is called as Aloka Varsha or abandoned land. And this is Swarnabhumi. So it is gradually going down one. So this kind of structure is called terra structure. And here we have 7 lower planet systems. Hellish planets are here. 8 elephants and Shesha and Kurma. So this is the proper structure of the entire Bhoomandala. And from the top of Mount Meru to the bottom of the Bhoomandala is 2 lakh yojanas in total. So Bhoomandala itself is 1 lakh yojanas, and Mount Meru is also about 1 lakh yojanas. And our Earth globe, it is exactly in the middle. 1 lakh above is Mount Meru, 1 lakh below is our 8 elephants. So it is like that. So this is the complete picture of Bhoomandala according to Bhugola Varnam. Bhagavatam only talks about the top view of the Bhoomandala. It does not go into details about the front view. And Bhugola Varnam, we see from the front, how does this entire Bhoomandala look like? So it looks like this. So basically the third region till now, which we are calling as Aloka Varsha, it is actually Garbhodaka ocean. That's why the Madhva scholars calling it as Ganodaka. And that's why it is not fit for inhabitants. And to be more precise, this Lokaloka mountain is actually stemming from Garbhodaka ocean. This is not a mountain made up of stones. Instead, it is a mountain made up of ice or solid water. The same Garbhodaka ocean water only extends upward. This is all a icy mountain. And here is our pit of darkness. The pit of darkness is actually inside Garbhodaka ocean. The greatest amount of sinful people are thrown into this pit of darkness, which is actually inside Garbhodaka ocean, which is ice everywhere, and they will go through intense suffering. And other sinful people will be taken to these hellish planets, where they will go through the punishments given by Yamaraj. So just the same Bhoomandala with all these inner, whatever we have inside this area. So we see here, these are the 7 islands and 7 oceans, surrounded by Swarnabhumi and Vajralepa, the diamond bhumi, surrounded by Brahmabhumi. The thick line is Brahmabhumi. This is like top view. But when you come in the some height and see, it looks like this. So this is the picture of the entire Bhoomandala. So this is Mount Meru, and also this is Jambudipa, and second, third, fourth, fifth, like that. This is seventh island. This is Mansotar Mountain, the seventh ocean, Swarnabhumi, Diamond Land, and the entire thing is surrounded by Lokaloka Mountain. So this is the picture of the entire Bhumandala, according to Bhugala Varnanam. So these are like Bhumandala is not flat like 1 rupee can. Instead, it's gradually coming downward. It is a tapered structure. It is called as terrace type of structure. So this is the entire Bhumandala. And here is Lokaloka Mountain, which goes in height all the way up to pole star. And in between, we have sun, moon, stars, etc. The sunlight is restricted within area. It cannot come outside. So this concept is not only in the books, but it is very well there outside in common usage also. So once we have visited Sringeri Math, in that, in one corner, they have put this Mahameru Stupa. So there in Sringeri Math, the deity Sharada Devi is actually installed on Mahameru Yantra. There is a Yantra. Based on that Yantra, they made a Stupa, which is taken out once in a year during Brahmosa festival, and they decorate it nicely and they worship it. So in this, you can see the eight elephants are here, and different levels are corresponding to different islands. On top, we have also see that Mount Meru, the small stamba, that is Mount Meru. The first one is Jambudipa, second island, third island, fourth island, fifth island, sixth island, seventh island. And this is Diamond Land or Golden Land, etc. These remaining portions. And below the Bhumandala, we have eight elephants in eight directions. They are carrying the weight of the entire Bhumandala. This is a copper stupa. And this is a stupa constructed in the middle of the road in one junctions in Mysore. This can be seen actually in Mysore, which is nothing but the Bhumandala in this stupa shape, something to indicate that. Of course, it is going vertically, which is very much high, but much high, Bhumandala is not so much. But that is how they kind of present it. So this is how the Bhugola Varnanam tries to present the image of the entire Bhumandala, which is actually like this. This is the final picture of the entire Bhumandala. So at the end, ultimately, this is what we call Bhumandala. This mountain is actually coming from Garbhodaka Ocean, and this itself is Garbhodaka Ocean, Aloka Varsha, and this is Bhumandala. And this Bhumandala falls into Garbhodaka Ocean, and Lord Varaha lifts it up and keeps it in position. And then by the request of Lord Brahma, the eight elephants, Shesha, Kurma, they come in between and carry this Bhumandala upon their back. And the Bhumandala stays there as long as there is no pralaya. So this is the complete picture of the Bhumandala. So, Hare Krishna. So, we'll stop with this image today and we'll continue the description of the Jambudipa and Bharata Varsha, Bharata Kanda, etc. in the tomorrow session.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for very enlightening class, Prabhuji. It's so interesting to know about everything in a picture form. Really. So, thank you, Prabhuji. If there are any, do you have time, Prabhuji, for further questions?
Yes. I'm free only. If all of you have time, we'll take some questions. Sorry, we have already reached 7:30, but still no problem. We'll take questions. There are two questions in the chat box. I will read. If the sun is on this side of the Lokaloka mountain, how the sun rays goes to the other side, other lokas, since there is only one sir for the whole universe? Yeah, in our universe, we only have one sun, and that one sun is somewhere here. And because of this sun, this entire area gets sunlight. And the Bhuloka, also in the Bhuvarloka, also in the Swargaloka. Swargaloka goes all the way up to pole star. These three planetary systems will have sunlight. Based on sun, they will have daytime and nighttime, etc. The sunlight cannot go to the other part of the Lokaloka mountain. That's why it is called Aloka. And sunlight cannot go inside the Bhumandala to these seven lower planetary systems. They also do not have sunlight. And within our universe, there is only one sun. There is only one moon. There are not many suns and many moons. Whatever we see in the sky in the nighttime, they are all different stars, different tarakas. So they are not suns. They have different properties, about which we will discuss maybe in the tomorrow session. And the second query is the universal covering outside the universal shell, and is it accounted in the dimensions mentioned by you, 500? No. 500 is from here to here. The dimension between the yellow line, the golden line is 500. And from here starts the universal shell. The shell itself is called as coverings. So for a normal egg, the chicken egg, we have only one covering. But for our universe, there are seven coverings. That's why they are called as seven universal coverings or seven universal shells, basically. There are seven different regions of the universal shell. Both covering or shell, both are same only, but there are seven coverings. One is made up of earth, one is made up of water, then third one is made up of fire, then air, then ether, then ahankara and mahatattva. So like that. But 500 is the diameter within the universe, and afterwards start the universal coverings. The width of the first covering is 500 this side and 500 this side. The width of the second covering is 5,000 this side and 5,000 this side. Like that. They keeps on increasing by 10 times. Is the moon closer to Bhuvarga compared to sun? So this we will discuss not tomorrow's class, but whichever class we are going to do after tomorrow. So in that class, we will discuss which is closer, sun or moon. And where is Goloka? I am extremely sorry. We are not going to discuss anything about Goloka. We are only discussing about what is there within our universe, not things are outside universe. Any queries from outside directly want to ask?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, yes. I just need some clarifications. I missed the... How would you define Brahma Bhumi?
So they kind of given a particular name. Brahma Bhumi is basically the tip portion of this particular region. This yellow region you have, maybe half portion is... Swarna Bhumi, the golden land. Another half is diamond land, which looks like diamonds. We will discuss about this also later in tomorrow's presentation. And the tip portion is Brahma Bhumi, which is maybe something like what we can say. Gold, superior to gold is diamond. And superior to diamond is kind of ivory or something like that. So it's like a border that is called Brahma Bhumi. Something like that we can understand. Some special area.
So it's outside of both the gold and the diamond
islands? Yes, yes. It is outside. So, for example, if you see this picture, this outer, the thin white line, that is Brahma Bhumi. This is gold land, this is diamond land, the thin line is Brahma Bhumi.
And then outside that white line is the mountains?
Yes, outside that is Lokaloka Mountain, the Lokaloka Mountain, this one.
Okay, does that Brahmabhuti have any particular characteristic?
We don't know many details. Some name is mentioned, that's all.
Okay, another question about these elephants, the eight elephants. I got confused because before we talked about the four elephants that balance Bhumandala. So I'm trying to clarify that. And also, the eight elephants, do they each stand on a separate hood of Adishesha?
I think there is a picture sometime before this slide. We had a picture from that Bhugola Varanam. Yeah. Here you see there is Adishesha and one hood. There is a kind of plate structure is there. Upon that, the eight elephants are there and they take the entire Bhumandala on their back. Something like that it is mentioned.
Yeah, but those eight elephants, how are they situated on his hoods?
Not on all the hoods, on one hood, there is a plate. Here you see a plate disc kind of thing. Uh-huh. On top of that, the eight elephants are there and who are carrying the entire Bhumandala.
Okay, and then those four elephants who help to balance,
they are on... On top of the Bhumandala, they are above, on the upper portion, they are balancing the Bhumandala in four directions. If this is the Bhumandala, one elephant here, one elephant here, one elephant here, one elephant here, so that the Bhumandala does not go here and there. because Shesha is below in the middle, so sometimes it may go out of balance. So to keep it balanced, the four elephants are there.
And those four elephants are on top of the mountains, right?
Actually, I need to add some details here. According to Bhagavatam, they are on top of the mountain. But according to Bhumandala, the understanding will vary a little bit. I will show you here. Tomorrow I will add the elephants and I'll show you the picture for more clarity. But for today, I will show you how it will be. Out of the four legs of the four elephants which are in four directions, the two legs will be here. And the two legs will be on the mountain. So here is the mountain. Here is the Bhumandala. Two legs here, so that this particular Bhumandala will be balanced. Same way, for this elephant, two legs on the mountain, two legs on this land, so that the land is balanced. Like that, one elephant will be this side, front side, one elephant will be on the back side. In the four directions, so they will be like that. This is the understanding from Bhugola Varnanam.
Okay. You mind if I just back up a bit to, I just want to make sure that my conception of Bharat Khanda is correct. So Bharat Varsha is divided into nine.
Yes.
And then the ninth division is called Bharat Khanda.
Yes.
And then Bharat Varsha has nine khandas, and one of those nine khandas is called Bharat Khanda. Now that Bharat Khanda, is that also divided into nine?
No.
Or not? Okay. So that Bharat Khanda is the earth sphere, is it?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, and you know, in previous class, you showed like the nine little islands. So those nine little islands, those were the nine divisions, the nine khandas, right?
Yes.
And one of those small, you know, islands, that one of them was spherical earth.
Yes, one of the nine islands is spherical earth. That is our earth globe, which is called as Bharat Khanda.
And they're the only, our earth is the only one of those nine khandas that is spherical, right?
Yes.
Had you given explanation for how it had become spherical?
We will discuss about it tomorrow. Oh. Tomorrow we will be discussing it little elaborately.
Okay. Just a quick thing. Last thing is the Ganga, is that synonymous with the causal ocean? Because when it comes through the crack, right? We call it Ganga, right? But that water is flowing from the causal ocean itself.
Yes.
So that's why I was wondering is there any distinction? I mean, are they just interchangeable names or what?
No. It is actually the water from causal ocean coming into our universe. Yes, it is same causal ocean.
Okay, but when it comes through the crack, we call it Ganga.
Yes.
Okay, Prabhu. Okay. Yeah. This is actually the very last question. You know, you had said in a earlier that why would, you know, those and, you know, let me know if you don't want to answer this here, but, you know, those who have taken birth on Brahmaloka, you know, they prefer to take birth on this Bharat Varsha, you know, Bharat Khanda, you know, but my understanding is that those who are born on Brahmaloka, I thought they go directly back to Godhead. So if that's the case, why would they want to take birth here if they can go directly back to Godhead?
Actually, the prayer is not like that. Prayer is that those people who by performing pious activities
who have gone to Swargaloka or who have gone to Bauma Swarga, the other eight Varshas of Jambudipa, that Kimpurusha Varsha, Hari Varsha, etc., they are actually praying. They are saying that even as a result of our pious activities, if we are offered birth in Brahmaloka, we should not accept it. If there is no Krishna Katha going on in Brahmaloka, if there is no Harinam Sankirtan is going on in Brahmaloka, if there is no continuous performance of sacrifices in Brahmaloka. So like that they are saying, if at all they are offered birth in Brahmaloka without any Krishna conscious activities, we are not supposed to take that birth there. Instead, let us go and take birth in Bharata Varsha, where there is continuous Krishna Katha is going on, so that we can attain perfection. So like that they are saying.
Okay, so I understand their mood. You know, they're glorifying, you know.
Bharata Varsha.
They're glorifying Bharata Varsha. But just for clarification though, in Brahmaloka, wouldn't we find only devotees there? Because they were saying, you know, if there are no devotees there, there's no, you know, Krishna Katha going on there, we would not want to go there. But that would never be the case, is it, in Brahmaloka?
The Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka, they are specifically dedicated for those who have perfected Jnana and Yoga. All the great sages, great yogis, after their perfection, they are promoted to these upper four planetary systems. So if they want to attain Sayujya Mukti, they will attain directly after the end of Brahma's day. Otherwise, if they want to come down, they will also come down. As Lord Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita, Abrahma Bona Loka Punaravartin Arjuna. So Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 32, very elaborately talks about it. Even those jnanis and yogis, after perfecting their sadhana, when they go to Brahmaloka, if they only consider the universal form to the ultimate reality, or Brahman is the ultimate reality and Bhagavan does not have any form, such kind of people will come down to lower planetary systems. So they do not attain perfection, they do not attain moksha. Like that, Bhagavatam, Canto 3, 32 chapter says.
Okay, Prabhu. Thank you so very much. Hare Krishna.
So there are a couple of queries in the chat box. We'll quickly see through them. So one query is that, okay, so the Bharata Varsha is perical and tampered. Hari Bol. Sorry, we again making the same mistake. Bharata Varsha is not spherical. Bharata Kanda is spherical. Whatever spherical object shown here, this is all Bharata Kanda, not Bharata Varsha. We are discussing this from last many sessions. Within Bharata Varsha, there are 9 divisions, 9 islands. The 9th island is Bharata Kanda, and that is spherical in shape. That is our earth globe, not Bharata Varsha. And the next query, when you say earth planet is midway of Mount Meru, is it on the periphery? Sorry, kindly do not make this mistake calling earth to be earth planet. Never ever call earth to be earth planet. Earth is Bharata Kanda. Better to call it as Bharata Kanda instead of calling it as earth or earth planet. So Bharata Kanda is midway of Mount Meru. It is not midway, but this is the front view. So in the top view, Mount Meru is here and Bharata Kanda is here. But when you see from the front, when Mount Meru is here and Bharata Kanda is in front of it, so it is shown like this only. If you have the understanding of front view, you will see like this. The Bharata Kanda will be seen like this. It is not exactly in the midway of Mount Meru, but it is the front side view of the Mount Meru. This entire picture is like a cross-sectional view of the entire Bhumandala. So it is like that. Of course, Bharata Kanda is on the periphery of our Jambudvipa. So that is true. You need to combine. You need to have that much imagination power. A top view and front view, you need to combine both, and you have to see it clearly. In one of the pictures, could notice below Kurma, and Garbhodakshayi, ocean, the pic of Devi. What is the significance of that? So in that picture, it is not Devi. The Madhva scholars call it as Vishnu Kurma. They say this Kurma is Vayu Kurma, and there is another Kurma outside the universal shell, outside the first universal shell. That Vishnu Kurma in the second universal shell, second universal layer. So they did not go into details, but they say there are two Kurmas. One Kurma is there floating in the Garbhodaka ocean. There is another Kurma floating in the water layer of the universal shell and carrying the entire universe along with the layer of the earth, So something like that. What is Garbhodaka ocean made of? Is it salt water? Sorry, it is not salt water. It is the ocean created by the sweat of Lord Vishnu. So this is clearly mentioned in the second canto, chapter 10, verse number 11, 12, 13. Those three verses talks about how Garbhodakshaya Vishnu had created this Garbhodaka ocean. Just from his sweat, he created this Garbhodaka ocean. For more details, you can refer to verses 11, 12, 13 of the 10th chapter of canto 2. During Pralaya, Anantashesha ends his service. What about eight elephants? Not only Anantashesha, the eight elephants, Anantashesha and Kurma, all three of them will give up their service. They wind up from their service. As a result of that, the Bhumandala will fall into Garbhodaka ocean. So it's like that. Since Shesha is generally spoken about carrying the Bhumandala, so I just mentioned Shesha gives up service, something like that. We already have eight elephants on Seva. Do we still need the four elephants on the top? The purpose of eight elephants below is to hold the weight of the Bhumandala. The purpose of the four elephants on top is to balance the Bhumandala. Both of them are doing a different service. So both of them have different Seva. Okay. So these are some queries from chat box. So if there are no queries from any other devotees.
It makes no sense.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, you said during Pralaya, Kurma and Anantashesha and elephants, they end the service. That's how the Bhumandala falls down. But have read that actually the water level raises till then, so it just submerges in the water. So how to understand this?
No, actually water level raises. There is a huge rain. The rain covers the entire surface of the Bhumandala. And also, by the way, the eight elephants, Shesha, Kurma are also kind of give up their service, and the entire Bhumandala falls down into Garbhodaka ocean. So raises means, say for example, we have ocean adjacent to our township. The ocean water raises and the surface of the land is covered. That means on the upper portion of the Bhumandala, the entire area is covered by water. But this entire thing has to fall down here. The Garbhodaka ocean does not raise all the way up to here. It will fall down eventually. The raising portion is only indicating vis-a-vis the ocean, the nearby land. The ocean increases just like tsunami comes, how the water comes in, like that. Because of huge rains.
Okay, Prabhu. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the wonderful talks. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, are there any further questions for Prabhuji?
I would just want to reconcile this end of Bhumandala with what's his name? Lord Shiva's the time of destruction. How to reconcile these two pastimes?
End of the Bhumandala at the time of destruction. Actually, there are two kinds of annihilations. One happens at the end of the day of Brahma. The other one happens at the end of Brahma's 100 years. Yes. So we are talking about the annihilation that takes place at the end of Brahma's day. So at the end of Brahma's day, there is huge rain which covers the entire surface of the Bhumandala. At the same time, the elephant, Shesha and Kurma give up their service. The Bhumandala falls down into Garbhodaka ocean. Next day morning, from the navel of Garbhodaksha Vishnu, there comes a lotus. And that lotus will have the lotus leaf. That leaf is the Bhumandala. And from the stems, we come Bhurloka, Swargaloka. And from the flower, we get Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka. They are all again re-manifested in the next day morning. But at the end of Lord Brahma's 100 years, there will be huge rain, huge rain. The entire Bhumandala will merge into water. Just like when we mix a spoon of sugar in a glass of water or glass of milk, by stirring it, the sugar loses its existence. Similarly, at the end of 100 years of Lord Brahma's life, so much rain, the entire Bhumandala will become melted in the water. So it will have no more existence. Just like the sugar loses its existence when it is mixes with the milk. Something like that happens at the end.
So during daily annihilations, Lord Shiva has nothing to do with that.
Lord Shiva also has something to do. Before the rain comes, Lord Shiva becomes very much angry and there is an intense fire from his third eye. When you open the third eye, there is an intense fire. Because of that intense fire, the entire surface of the earth will have famine for many years. So all the living entities will die due to lack of food. Then there will be intense rain covering the entire portion of the Bhumandala.
Mm-hmm.
So like that, everyone has their role to play some way or other.
Okay, and just last thing, you know, you just mentioned about the planetary systems in relationship to the stem of the lotus. You know, the other day I had asked you about this and you said that the planetary systems are actually composed of the stem. And, you know, yesterday I happened to just stumble upon a purport in the Bhagavatam where Prabhupada says that the planetary systems are within the stem. So I'm trying to reconcile this.
I will show some images corresponding to that when we come to 21st chapter. So tomorrow we'll continue to discuss this same Bhugola Varnanam. In the next class, the next to next class, I'll show you some images. Then you will get more clarity. Right now, it is too early to discuss that.
Okay, Prabhu. Thank you so very much. Hare Krishna.
Okay. Hare Krishna, thank you very much.
There's one question in chat box, Prabhuji. Why Lord Shiva gets angry at time of annihilation?
We will discuss this in 25th chapter. When we come to 25th chapter, there is an elaborate discussion about this particular point while discussing about Shesha. So that time we will address this point. Okay.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your beautiful session. And devotees, let's pay obeisances to Prabhuji and all the devotees. Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Granthat Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srimad His Grace
Pavaneshwar Prabhuji Ki Jai.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you so much,
Hare Krishna. Hare
Krishna. We'll continue the session tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Hare Krishna, we'll end the call here. Thank you all devotees for joining.